And in Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Have you ever accused somebody of something, and then they pointed out something about you that was similar?
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Dealing with Offenses. Portions were recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Okay, well today we got a very, very good message, I think. And it has to deal with forgiving people and working out differences with people. So today's sermon is Dealing with Offenses. And our key verse today is going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and read. I'm reading out of the NIV, and the title of this section is called A Brother Who Sins Against You. And this is Jesus speaking. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Christ is saying that if somebody offends you, that you should bring the matter to that person personally, and he's covering the aspects of whether or not this person is going to listen to you the first or second or third time, and how to deal with people who sin against you. Now, I wanted to jump right into that subject, but I got to thinking about some stuff, and I realized that sometimes that's not always a good idea to send somebody straight out. And of course, I'm not finding fault in what Jesus says, because his words are perfect. But I do know that Jesus speaks a lot about forgiveness as well. And so you cannot cover the subject of reconciliation of relationships without covering the subject of forgiveness, because Christ spoke a lot about forgiveness. So I see in my own life that I have to forgive somebody before I can approach them. And I think everybody in here would agree that before you approach somebody on a subject matter that offended you, you're going to have forgiveness in your own heart, because if you don't, then you're going to have two people upset. So somebody has to be in the mode of forgiveness. So I want to cover some topics about forgiving and then get into the aspect of dealing with an offense from somebody else. Number one, when it comes to forgiveness, because we too are sinners, we should forgive others. What I try to do is when I look at somebody who's done something to me, I kind of remember some of the things that I've done to other people. And I feel joy in my heart that they had forgiven me for my trespass. And so in John, and you don't have to turn to these verses, but in John chapter 8, verse 7, it reads, "When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them," this is Jesus speaking, by the way, "if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." The church leaders in Jesus' day had brought a woman to Christ, and this woman had been caught in the very act of adultery, and church law at that time required that anyone caught in adultery would be stoned. He made the statement, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." So he's asking people to look inside yourself, and if you're so perfect, then you could be the first one to throw that stone at that woman that they brought before him. So because we are two sinners, we have to forgive others. So that's basis number one. Basis number two for forgiveness is that we have to be ready to forgive the same person over and over again, sometimes for the same thing. In Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." And that's metaphorically speaking that you just keep forgiving them, okay? Basis number three, love is the foundation that leads to forgiving others. If you don't have love in your heart, you're going to find it very difficult to forgive other people. So love is the foundation. In Numbers chapter 14, verses 19 through 20, this is Moses trying to get God to forgive the people. And this is what he says to God. "In accordance with your great love, forgive the sins of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now." The Lord replied, "I have forgiven them as you asked." Moses was calling God out on the basis of love. You love these people, therefore forgive them. Number four, I think it's very important because it can actually mess with your spiritual walk with God if you don't get this one down. In Matthew 5, verses 23 through 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." Jesus is saying that if you ain't got stuff straight with your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you got something wrong in your relationship, don't be sitting up in church praising him and offering him worship and gifts of praise, because he wants you to have your personal affairs, your personal relationships in order before you come up in church and act like everything between you and God is okay. Because if you have a problem between you and your brother and it's unresolved, you have a problem between you and God. And there's just no way of mincing words with that. Number five, Jesus is our example of forgiveness. In Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34, when they came to a place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Christ was hanging on the cross, and while on the cross, he was asking God to forgive them. That is a great example of forgiveness. I think we can all agree on that. While the very act of trespass was being committed upon him, he was still praying for their forgiveness. Basis number six for forgiveness is that the Lord himself commands us to forgive. In Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, it reads, "So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." So Jesus is saying that when somebody comes up to you and they're asking you for forgiveness, you have to give it to them. You have to show forgiveness to those, no matter how many times that they have trespassed against you. If they are showing repentance, you have to give them another chance. And you have to ask yourself in this room, how many times did I get a lot of chances when I was messing up? Could have been on your job. It could have been at school. It could have been with a friend or a loved one. We all mess up. And we all mess up in the same area that seems to be giving us difficulty that may not be giving somebody else a difficulty. And then the last basis I have here for forgiveness is treat your enemies with compassion. In Romans chapter 12, verse 20, it reads, "On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." We're to be compassionate to those who have trespassed against us. It is kind of hard to be kind to people who are being mean to us, isn't it? It is. But God commands it. Because we have to be the bigger person. And I'm sure that we've all heard the expression, I will not lower myself to their level. Well, when you repay evil for evil, you are doing exactly that. You're just fueling the fire between the two of you. When you show that you're the bigger person, many things start to change in your life, starting with you. And so now this leads me to the second part of the sermon, which is dealing with the trespass. Remember, our key scripture was Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. The word if in this scripture was originally written in the Greek of the day, and it actually means that it's more than likely going to happen. So we shouldn't be surprised when a brother or sister comes up against us and does something to hurt us, because it's more than likely that it is going to happen, okay? So we don't want to live in some kind of a dream world that somebody's not going to hurt our feelings or do something that offends us. Now, when Jesus is talking in this scripture, Jesus is not talking about a life of sin by the trespasser, okay? He's not talking about somebody who is continually living in sin. He's talking about a single act of a trespass. He's talking about a single act against you. The word sin actually means to miss the mark, by the way. In other words, you as a person have set a standard that you believe that you should be treated, and your brother or sister in Christ did not meet that standard. They missed the mark. Sometimes our mark is too high for people to reach. We set our standards too high. So we have to look at ourselves too. And so that leads me to the second part of this, which is that we do not judge others by prying into their lives. Jesus is talking about an offense that is directly towards you. It doesn't give you the right to look around in the room or at the people in your life and judge them and to pick things that you need to go confront them about. Christ is talking specifically about a person who directly, personally offends you. So we don't want to go around looking for mistakes that others are making and getting involved in the business of others, because that would be judging. And in Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Have you ever accused somebody of something, and then they pointed out something about you that was similar? Oh, you're talking about me, huh? Well, I remember when you can apply that scripture right to that. Because we've all done something. We've all fallen short. So you got to be careful about who you confront, because they might be able to throw something back at you that you've done that was similar or just as bad. So when we go to the person, we have to make sure, again, that that person was the one who offended us. In some cases, the person offending you may not even know that they hurt your feelings. They may have innocently done something and it upset you and you took it personal. And so it's important that you bring the matter to that person in private. And it doesn't mean call a friend up and say, "Do you know what so-and-so did? I cannot believe what they just did to me." You don't want to do that. But sometimes people are just that way. They're just in their own little world at times and they step on your shoe and they didn't mean to do it. So the injured person must be the one who goes to the one who offended. And it has to be a private matter. Now, the purpose of all of this is not to get up in somebody's face and to tell them off. No, the purpose is to win him over. Okay? You have to make a person aware of the problem so that they can deal with it also. Your purpose of dealing with it is to reconcile them to yourself and back into the body of the church. In this verse, the meaning of the verb listens, when Jesus says if he listens to you, it means to heed or to obey. Now, you could be talking to somebody and they could be hearing you with their ears, but they're not taking it in, right? You ever get into an argument with somebody and you tell them, "You're not listening to me." But if they do, then that's a good sign that things are going to get better between the two of you. However, continued sin against another brother in the church is not to be tolerated, okay? So you can't allow this to continue on. And that's why you give that person another chance by bringing a witness with you. Because, you know, you could sit down with somebody in private and you could have a conversation with them and there's nobody else around, and they can come back later on and say, well, you didn't say that, or this didn't happen, or this did happen, and then there's no witnesses. And also, you want to bring backup, if you will, because obviously, if you're in the right, then another brother or sister in Christ can come with you and help matters along. And that's why in verse 17 it says, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. You know, tax collectors were really bad guys in the day. They didn't get paid. They didn't have a salary. But they came and they collect your taxes. Now, who would do anything for free? Well, you know they weren't doing it for free. So that means that every time they came to collect your taxes, they were adding on an extra paycheck for themselves. Make sense? So every tax collector was a crook. So then the church is then given the authority to deal with such a person as if he was a heathen. Okay? So you got somebody that's continuing doing these things over and over again, and they're not listening to you. They're not listening to the people that you brought along with you as a witness, and they're not listening to the church. At this point in time, you have a troublemaker or unrepentant person in the church, and they need to be thrown out until they do repent. Now, if they do repent, you're to bring them back in, okay? And so that's how we deal with offenses.
Well, I hope this message has blessed you. The reason why I put this together is because I have witnessed in my own life and in my own struggles the necessity to forgive others and to reconcile friendships and relationships with others. It is so important in our lives that we reach out to the people who offend us, because sometimes we can find forgiveness in the most unlikely circumstances. Because I believe that if we open our hearts to the forgiveness that God extends to us, that we can extend that forgiveness to others. And so I pray that as you're listening to this sermon, God will speak to your heart and give you understanding in a situation that you might be struggling with involving another person who may have offended you. Or maybe you are the offender and somebody is coming to you to extend forgiveness. You know, it's a two-way street, because God extends his forgiveness to us through Jesus Christ. Yet I see on a daily basis people turning down the free offer of Jesus Christ, the offer of forgiveness from God through his son, Jesus Christ. You might be one of them. If you are one of those people, maybe today is the day that your heart will be opened by God and you will receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. You know, the Bible has quite a few things to say about relationships and how we are to be towards one another. And here are just a few of the scriptures that I'd like to share with you. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 reads, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We are to uplift one another and to encourage one another, and we are to do this in love. And remember, as the verse reminds us, the day of the Lord is approaching. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 reads, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Well, Jesus is that peace, and he is the bond that we need to apply to one another. Remember, your brothers and sisters in Christ, they have shortcomings just like you do. And we have to be patient, and we have to bear with one another in love. And of course, here's one of my favorite scriptures of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. In the end, my friends, it is love. God is love. If you are in a difficult situation right now with another person, whether you be the offender or the one who's been offended, perhaps this will help you to understand that sin is the true culprit behind all trespasses. Trespasses against us as people and trespasses against God. Sin is the problem. And when we look at ourselves and our own struggles and our own shortcomings, and when we realize that we have been given another chance, not a second chance, but multiple chances in our own walk with Christ, when we realize that, we can start to extend that forgiveness to others as well. But again, we have to be willing to receive it. So if somebody has been offended by you, if you've trespassed on someone, and they're trying to reach out to you with forgiveness, don't let pride get in your way. Don't put a block up to that person by saying that you don't need their forgiveness. Don't become self-righteous and deny that you've done something wrong to another person. That's what keeps people out of the kingdom of God, that they're unwilling to come to God and accept the forgiveness because of pride. Most people who have offended God don't even believe that they have done an offense. Jesus asked the Father to forgive them because they knew not what they were doing. I pray that God will open your heart today and He will allow you to see where you've gone wrong if you're an offender. And if you have been offended, I would ask the Lord today to open your heart so that you can extend forgiveness to those who have trespassed against you. Relationships are so important, and Satan likes to get into the middle of all relationships to destroy them, to wreak havoc between people. He does this to split churches up. He does this to cause trouble in the family. He does this to cause divorce in marriages. He does this to break away siblings from one another, and he wants to separate, divide, and conquer. Remember, Satan is a liar. He comes to lie, steal, and kill. The devil likes to tell you a lie. Then he uses that lie to steal away something from you, like a relationship, and then he kills off the gift that God has given you, which could be a relationship of peace and harmony with another human being. Don't let Satan get in between you and the person that you have a relationship with, because if you do, he will stop at nothing to destroy it. He will continue on. So remember, sin is the real culprit. We do not battle against flesh and blood, but principalities. We need to stand strong in prayer, not just for the other person, but also for ourselves and one another, of course, that's important. We should apply love/God to all of our relationships, remembering that love is patient, that it is kind, that it does not envy, that it does not boast, that it is not proud. It's not rude, and it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Well, that concludes this lesson today. But before I go, if you're listening right now and you have not received the free gift of Jesus Christ, if you have not accepted Him as your payment for your sins against God, then I would like to invite you now to do so. It's a simple prayer, but it involves so much more. This prayer will literally change your life. If you're ready to accept forgiveness from God, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was raised from the dead on the third day, then say this prayer with me now to receive full forgiveness for all of your sins and to be a member of God's kingdom. God, I am sorry for what I have done. I know and admit freely that I have offended you, that I am a sinful person. And I ask God that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you will forgive me. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, for my trespasses against you. And I believe that he was raised from the dead on the third day, and that he is the way to you. I accept your free gift of Jesus Christ, and I thank you, God. I thank you. I thank you for all of my sins being forgiven. In Jesus' name, I ask and I pray. Amen. Now, if you just said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, all of your sins are washed away. You have a clean slate with God. He remembers your sins no more. And I would encourage you to get yourself a Bible if you already don't have one and start reading in the book of John and ask God before you read to open your heart so that you may receive revelation from his word. If we ask God to reveal himself to us, and that is truly what we want in our hearts when we ask, if we truly desire that, God will manifest himself to us. It's a relationship. Treat it as such, and you will reap the benefits of a relationship with the Almighty, the all-loving God.
This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. This video features a collection of paraphrased Bible promises that will help you start your day with praise and worship. Donate online at www.awordfromgod.net or send your donations to James Lindley Ministries, Attention Donations, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.